We are on the subject of the name of God, and this is module 8 of our teaching series for the School of Ministry. And today we are going to begin with the name Yahweh Tsidkenu. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord God who is our righteousness. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise that you have chosen to express yourself to us as God, our righteousness, Lord. And that is an incredible reality, Father, because your word is declaring to us that we are each meant to be the product of your righteousness. We are meant to be your workmanship. We are meant to be unveiled, O God, as a product of your workmanship in our lives. And Father God, as we open your word and begin to understand your word in a greater clarity and a greater conviction, Lord, enable us to understand, Lord, that your word declares clearly and unambiguously, Lord, that we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for the good works you have ordained from beforehand, Lord. And we are looking forward, O God, to realizing your work in our lives. We are looking forward to be able to live by our God, to live in our God, to live through our God. And that's one of the great realities, O God, that we need to discover and express, Father, in everything that we do each and every day, so that we can live in you and by you and through you and for you forevermore. And so, Lord, we ask you to teach us. We ask you, Lord, to open our hearts, that we may come to understand, Lord, your righteousness, that we may come to understand that we are truly your workmanship, that from the point at which, O Lord, we were saved by being born again, Lord, Father, you have persevered with us to unfold us as your workmanship. We thank you that this workmanship is a new creation. We thank you that this workmanship is being manifested in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you that this workmanship is the outworking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that this workmanship is your will, your perfect will, your complete will manifested into our lives. Indeed, Lord, you're doing a great and awesome work. You mean to manifest each and every one of us as tabernacles of the living God, dwelling places in which your glory will be made manifest, in which your name will be explained, in which, O God, your heart and your eyes will be unveiled, Lord. We are living dwelling places consecrated, O God, in your righteousness, Father, consecrated in holiness unto you, Father, by all that you have accomplished for us in Christ Jesus through his resurrection, through his crucifixion and his resurrection. And so, Lord, we look forward to what your Spirit is working into us. We thank you for blessing us, O God, with your name. We thank you for blessing us, O God, in all that stands in your name, Lord. We thank you that your name revealed to us, O God, is meant to be a living intimacy within us. And in that reality, we will each come to know you and come to actually love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, Lord, will be entirely, O God, be alive in you and by you and through you continuously in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. And this is the reality you mean to manifest in each and every one of us. We look forward to your workmanship. We look forward, O God, to celebrating the glory of your grace. We look forward to being unveiled, O God, as morning stars, as your prophetic word is performed and brought to fulfillment in each and every one of us uniquely, Father. We bless you for your righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have introduced the name Yahweh Shalom. And we go on to the next name of God that God has opened to us. So turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Reading from verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch. And he will reign as king and act wisely, and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, or Yahweh Tsidkenu. Lord in capitals there is always Yahweh. All right? The Lord, our righteousness, Yahweh Sidkenu. Praise the Lord. So God is equating the reality of Lord, the Lord, our righteousness, to the offspring of David. To the offspring of David. He says, I shall raise up for David a righteous branch. And under the name Yahweh Shalom, we talked about the reality of a covenant that was an expression of God's love for us. And we said that the name David prophetically represented the well-beloved. And that prophetically represented a man after God's own heart who will do all of God's will. Right? Let's turn to that. Acts chapter 13. Keep your finger on Jeremiah, okay? We will come back to it. Acts chapter 13. Verse 22. This is what David means prophetically. The last line of verse 22. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. A man after my heart who will do all my will. Now David certainly was a man who had a heart for God, but he never did all of God's will. So Jeremiah was a prophet some 500 years almost 500 years, say about 400 years plus, after David had died. And he's prophesying that there would be a branch of David that will manifest the righteousness of God. And this is what the righteousness of God will achieve. It will bring forth the fulfillment of this prophetic reality that is embedded in the name David. That he will bring forth a creation that will truly be manifested as human beings who will have a heart for God, right? People who will be after God's heart, who will also be able to do all of God's will. And this is where the reality of God's righteousness comes in. God is declaring prophetically that in his righteousness, he will enable this people to do all of God's will. That the reality of doing God's will is not of the righteousness of man, it is of the righteousness of God. It is the work of God in a man's life. And he talks about this descendant of David as being a living expression of Yahweh Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. So under the law, people tried to live by a law of righteousness by observing the law. And now God manifests his righteousness through a living person. And he says, through this living person, I will manifest my righteousness. And that righteousness will fulfill the prophetic dimensions of this name David. This name David in which I have sworn an oath that I will fulfill. And we have done that in previous tapes. And what God is saying is that in his righteousness, he will make each one of us men after his heart who will also be able or enabled to do all of God's will. And that's the aim of God's righteousness. So it is a very powerful intent. Awesome. Right? Awesome. Okay. So that's what God is trying to introduce here in Jeremiah chapter 23. And then he goes on to verse 7 of Jeremiah chapter 23. And he says, therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they will no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led back the descendants of the household of Israel from the north land and from all the countries where I had driven them, then they will live on their own soil. And all this will be an achievement of God's righteousness. They will be a people enabled to live by God, enabled to live in the presence of God, something that they were unable to do beforehand. And all this will come forth through the Messiah, because the Messiah is a personification of Yahweh Sidkenu. And this is one of the prophetic passages that declares that the Messiah is divine. That the Messiah is divine. That God can actually manifest his name in that Messiah. So Yahweh Tzidkenu is manifested in the Messiah, is communicated in the Messiah. And so you see that through the faith and love of Jesus, through the character and nature of Jesus, through the heart and mind of Jesus, through the witness and testimony of Jesus, God is communicating his righteousness. And he's asking us to realize all things through Jesus Christ so that we can become participants of God's righteousness, so that we can become the creation of God that will be his righteousness. All right, let's carry on. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33 from verse 14. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. Lord meaning Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God. Yahweh means I am who I am. I am that I am. So God is saying that I'm speaking these words to you according to who I am and according to all that I am. And in this case, he's going to declare these words based on his righteousness. And this is what he's saying. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. What does that mean? He's going to bring to fulfillment everything that was spoken through the law and the prophets. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David. Again, branch of David. Why David? Because God's righteousness must result in a people who will come to love him. Can you understand that? Because unless people love them, love God, they are not going to stand in righteousness before God. Are you with me? Where is God coming from? He's coming from back. He's coming from the time when Lucifer fell, right? Because he anointed Lucifer as the star of the morning, son of the dawn, right? Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12, 13, right? So he anointed him to stand in high position, right? He anointed him to stand prophetically in high position. And he fell from that position for the simple reason that he did not love God. And so God is coming back now, and he's raising up sons. And he's raising up a people who are going to belong to him. And he's declaring that these will be a people who will derive from the prophetic reality of David, the well-beloved. They will be a people who will love me. Right? And he says, so there will be a branch of David. Right? A righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in safety. And this is the name by which she shall be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Now it's amazing. Now he says that the people of God will be called the Lord is our righteousness. Amazing. Yahweh Tzidkenu again. Right? The people themselves will have the name Yahweh Tzidkenu manifested in them. All right? Okay, let's cross-reference from here, okay? Keep your finger on this verse, and let's turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Right, let's look at verses that we are very familiar with, but it's good to read it for context here. John 17 verse 6, Jesus says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Right? He manifests the name of God. And we have seen so many facets of the name of God. So today we are talking about the name of God, Yahweh Tzidkenu, right? And so he says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Praise the Lord. Verse 26. And he says, I have made thy name known to them and will make it known that the love wherewith thou didst love me. Right? What is he talking about? He's manifesting David, right? He's manifesting the prophetic reality of David. A man after God's own heart. A man who will do all of God's will. And as Jesus Christ is going to the cross, he's talking about that love that will fulfill God's law. That love that will enable a new creation to come forth. A love that will be a manifestation of the righteousness of God through the cross. That will be honored with resurrection power that will enable a whole new creation of mankind to come forth. And so he says, wherewith thou didst love me, may be in them, and I in them. Right? And that's how Jeremiah is prophesying that the people of God, right? The people of God will one day be called by the name Yahweh Sidkenu. Are you with me? And what is that, Yahweh Sidkenu? The reality of Christ Jesus alive in us by the Holy Spirit in the Father's will. Can you see that? Right? And that is the righteousness of God. That you and I can have the reality of the living God manifested within us on an online basis all of the time in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms is a manifestation and an expression of the righteousness of our God. Praise the Lord. And this is, right? This is in fulfillment of God's word. This is all in fulfillment of God's word. This is all in fulfillment of the righteousness of God. This is the work of God. It's not the work of the creature. The creature just enters into what God is manifesting in his sovereignty, right? So if you go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16, you will understand what I'm saying. So because in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16, as Solomon consecrates his temple, this is what the Lord says, right? For now, I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Are you with me? Now that is going to be achieved in the righteousness of God. It's going to be achieved not in a building made of concrete and stone, right? But it's going to be made in a living tabernacles of God's glory, living tabernacles that are the creation of God, living tabernacles that God has created in Christ Jesus as his workmanship. Are you listening, brethren? Right? So never look at your struggles. Never look at how difficult it is for you sometimes to do the things of God. Never allow yourself to stay depressed and saying, oh my goodness, I'm struggling and I'm struggling and I'm struggling. Right? What God is trying to point to you is that you should look for my righteousness and not look at your righteousness. Because your righteousness, the righteousness of man, has already been described in the Old Testament. And the righteousness of God, righteousness of man, will never attain the promises of God. So don't try, don't reinvent the wheel. It's not a very nice wheel because it doesn't roll the right way. Right? So if you keep on trying your best, you are not going to go anywhere. Right? It's already been proven in the Old Testament. Right? Are you with me? Right? Time and time again, God raised up good men. Right? Right, but they also failed in critical points in their life. Right, the righteousness of Moses was not good enough to get him into the promised land. Am I right? Hello? The righteousness of Elijah didn't stop him from getting scared, and he ran. Yeah? The righteousness of Elisha, right, although he got a double portion of the anointing, did not continue after that. What happened to the double portion of the anointing? Nobody else could carry on. Right? The righteousness of man came to a stop under the law. John the Baptist in jail, right? Turns to the Christ and he asks, right? Send somebody to ask him, are you the Christ? Did I actually see all these visions? Right? That's what he's asking, right? So the righteousness of man came to a stop. So God manifests a righteousness that will never fail. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances, it will stand forever. And that righteousness is manifested in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the righteousness you and I are called to realize. Now to realize that righteousness, the precondition is this. You have to come to love Jesus Christ. He's got to become the beloved of your heart. You've got to fall in love with him. You've got to ask God to teach you how to see Jesus and how to fall in love with him, because that line of righteousness comes out of the prophetic name David. You know, sometimes we feel dry. The reason why we feel dry very often is because we have lost our first love. The passion to love God is not there. It's when the passion to love God is not there that we run dry. Are you with me? Or there are times when we feel that the love of God is something that we can't relate to because of what's happening around us. And then we go dry, right? And so you see, to realize the love of God involves, right, you turning to the righteousness of God and searching for that righteousness to manifest the love that will ignite your heart and bring you back into position before God. And it's a continuous battle. But what you need to understand is that Yahweh Tsidkenu, right? Yahweh means the Eternal One. The Omniscient, the Omnipresent, the Omnipotent God has already manifested His righteousness for you. It is already there, right? It has always been there and it will always be there. And now it is available to you by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And you don't have to struggle with what you are struggling with. Right? You have to turn to God and realize from God His righteousness. Right? Are you listening? Praise the Lord. So when we pray by the Spirit, we are enabled to draw from the righteousness of God. That's very powerful. It is so good because at times you can really feel down. I also go through those kind of periods when you feel all alone and you know, sometimes you feel totally, you know, as if you have been stripped off every ounce of strength in your being. And yet because you can pray in the Spirit, you can still lock into God and draw from Him. And if you keep on pursuing that, you know, God will refresh you, God will renew you, God will regenerate you, and you will come back again. And all that is happening in the righteousness of your God. So when the Holy Spirit works in you, He's an expression of the righteousness of God manifested to you in the merits of Jesus Christ, in the merits of the Lamb. Are you listening, brother? Yeah? So this righteousness is something that you and I must clearly understand. This righteousness you and I must clearly understand. Praise the Lord. So if you read the prophets, you will find that there are so many passages of scripture where God talks about Him doing something. Him doing something, and it's something sovereign. Right? For instance, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idolatry. Then in the same next passage, God says, I will put a new spirit within you, right? And I will give you a new heart, right? And I will remove the heart of stone that is inside of you, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now, who is doing that? God is doing that. What is that an expression of? It is an expression of God's righteousness. Amen? Right? You see, Jeremiah was a prophet when the nation of Israel was actually going to the dogs, right? It was actually being destroyed. Israel was already gone. Judah remained. And Jeremiah was the prophet who was sent to prophesy to them, right? And he was telling them that they were in imminent danger of destruction because God had ordained that they would be judged for their sinfulness. So in the midst of everything crumbling, Jeremiah prophesies of the righteousness of God that will be manifested through the Messiah. And today as we stand as a people in the midst of a world that is going to pieces, it is so crucial for us to understand what the righteousness of God is. It is so crucial for us to reveal the righteousness of God through our lives. It is so crucial for us to manifest the righteousness of God in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, because human lives are going to depend on that righteousness. If we keep on trying to save the world with our clever organization and our clever abilities, then we're not going to touch anybody's life, right? Are you with me? Because what is happening is a colossal avalanche, right, of darkness, right? And so you must understand that it's time for us to realize and express and explain the righteousness of God through each one of our lives. And you must be prepared to walk towards that, to take hold of that righteousness of God. Amen? So let's talk about what this righteousness of God is like. Let's turn back to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 17, right? We just read from verse 14 to 16 earlier on, right? What is it all about? Verse 14 says, Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in safety. And this is the name by which she shall be called, the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. And the Levitical priest shall never lack a man before me to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to prepare sacrifices continually. So today we stand as living sacrifices. Our hearts are living altars. Living altars that are manifesting the fragrance of Jesus Christ. And that is happening by the righteousness of God. Today we stand as a priesthood of believers. Today we stand prophetically as kings in the making, sons of the living God. And all of these are realities that are being proclaimed in the righteousness of our God. So if you're going to realize these things in God, right, you have to lock into the righteousness of God. If you try and live by your own righteousness, you're going to really find that it's not going to take you anywhere. All right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Notice again that rulership, authority comes out of the name of David, right? So verse 17 says, "For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel." Praise the Lord. Are you listening? Right? So again, that prophetic name David, right? What does the prophetic name David represent? It represents a man after God's own heart who will do all of God's will. And that is the product of God's righteousness. If you look at it and say, oh my goodness, God expects me to be like that. That is the work of God in your life. It's like Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How on earth are you going to do that? That is of the righteousness of God. That's the power of God. That's the brilliance of God. That is the ability of God, that he can fashion and form you and me in his righteousness so that we will be perfect even as our heavenly Father is perfect. Obviously, we are going to grow in measures of that perfection. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay? All right. Verse 19. Now God is going to tell us how true is this reality of Yahweh Sidkenu. And this is what he is saying. Verse 19. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant for the day and my covenant for the night, so that day and night will not be at their appointed time, then my covenant may also be broken with David my servant. Now, none of us sitting here will not expect the day for the sun to rise tomorrow morning, right? What is the Lord saying? The fact that there is a sun and there is darkness that follows the sun, night follows day, and day follows night, is all part of my covenant. And he says, my covenant with David is as sure as you know that tomorrow morning the sun is going to rise. And as sure as you know that at about 7 o'clock in the evening, right, the sun is going to set. And you know at about 6 o'clock or 6:30 in the morning, the sun is going to begin to rise again, or 7 o'clock. Right? And we know that. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. But God is saying, my covenant with David is as sure as that. Right? That's what he's saying here. Then my covenant may also be broken with David my servant, that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levitical priests my ministers. Verse 22. As the host of heaven cannot be counted, and the sand of the sea cannot be measured, so I will multiply the descendants of David my servant and the Levites who minister to me. So he's not just talking about one or two people. He's talking about entire nations. He's talking about millions upon millions of people. Amen. And he says, I'm going to bless them in this kind of a stature because I am a God who is generous. Because all this is going to happen not in the merits of some superstar, but this is going to happen because of my righteousness. Can you see that? Amen. So you've got to understand, God is talking about millions, all right? Now, we tend to look at things as exclusive. You know, we see somebody do well and we think, oh my goodness, he is someone so much better than me. And God is turning it all around, right? What does the Sermon on the Mount tell us, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Right? In our human systems, the meek are the last people who are going to inherit anything. The poor in spirit are supposed to be failures. Right? But in the kingdom of God, everything is upside down. Right? Because the kingdom of God stands on the righteousness of God and not on the righteousness of man. Alright? And so God is asking us to listen to what he is saying. Right? Because all this is the product of the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. So he says, so I will multiply the descendants of David my servant and the Levites who minister to me. Praise the Lord. And again in verse 23 he says, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, have you not observed what this people have spoken, saying the two families which the Lord chose, he has rejected them. Thus they despise my people. No longer are they as a nation in their sight. Thus says the Lord, if my covenant for day and night stand not, and the fixed patterns of heaven and earth I have not established, then I would reject the descendants of Jacob and David my servant. What is the Lord saying? That he will restore the Jewish nation. Hello? He will restore the Jewish nation. Right? Praise the Lord. And nobody's going to stop it. People can scream and people can create whatever they want to say, but nobody's going to stop it. Right? Because he has chosen to love them. Because he has chosen to save them. Just as he has chosen to save us. On what merits are we all sitting here? Hello, we all come from idolatrous nations. We worship all kinds of ridiculous things. Right? From elephants to cows to God knows what else. Right? We worship all of those ridiculous looking things and we call them gods on top of it. To such a convoluted, confused lot of people, God has saved us and brought us into his righteousness. Isn't it amazing? The fact that we can actually worship God after worshiping pieces of stone here and there, that is amazing, isn't it? What an awesome job. Right? To clear our heads and enable us to see. To give us eyes to see, hearts to feel, hearts to know. Right? Minds to discern the truth, right? That's an awesome miracle. And all that is the product of God's righteousness. And what an awesome miracle it is, right? And how grateful we should be. Praise the Lord. Amen. And all that is the product of God's righteousness. Praise the Lord. So what is the driving force of God's righteousness? What is the driving force of God's righteousness? Praise the Lord. It's something we have been doing in our Sunday sermons. It's found in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. I'm reading from the King James Bible. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And there's a footnote here that says that the literal translation is have the faith of God. So God's righteousness is based on his faith for us. God has a faith for us. That's why Jesus is called the author and the finisher of our faith. By faith, Abraham was considered to be righteous. By faith. What was Abraham's faith based on? It was the fact that Abraham believed in God. God told him something in his own righteousness. God said, out of you I will bless entire nations. Right? Abraham did not have the faith to fulfill that promise. He did not have faith to even understand how that promise would come forth. But Abraham believed God and it was considered to be righteousness. Are you with me? And so you must understand that when God gave that promise to Abraham, he gave it in the reality of his faith. his faith that stands in his omniscience, right? Faith seeth that which is not seen, right? Are you with me? So God sees in his omniscience through an attribute of his that is called faith. And God wants that faith to be made manifest in our hearts so that we can see the things of God. So without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that he is. Right? God says, I am who I am. And we have to declare that he is who he is, and he is all that he is. And that's the purpose of faith. And if we can see God and see that God is able to do what we can't conceive, then we can understand that God in his righteousness can make us saints. God in his righteousness can make us sons of God. God in his righteousness can make us a royal priesthood. God in his righteousness can make us inheritors of every promise that is written in the scriptures. Amen? Yeah, that's what amen means. And so shall it be. Right? So that amen is based on the faith of God that is given to us, right? In his righteous intents. Right? Faith communicates God's righteousness into tangible things within us. And how does God communicate it to us? Through the witness and testimony of Jesus. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. How is he authoring and finishing our faith? Through the testimony of Jesus that explains the word of God to us in his spirit and his life. It's a supernatural realization that the Holy Spirit brings into us so that we can have the faith of God. Not to become gods in ourselves, but to be able to see what the Supreme God is able to do, what he is saying, what he is bringing forth, to understand, right? By faith we understand, right? The greatness of God. That's what faith is there for, to understand the greatness of God, to understand what God can do with us, right? Which we can't do in ourselves. We are called sons of God. The word of God says that nations will walk in our rising. Now, we can't conceive such things. There is no leader anywhere in history who has had nations walk in the light of his rising, actually live by his stature. Hello. So you really need to understand that God is talking about something of awesome proportions. And in order to bring that forth, in that verse, Jesus says, have the faith of God. Now, our modern translations have translated it as have faith in God. Certainly, we must have faith in God, right? But if we can have the faith of God, then we can lock into God and see him as he is. See him for what he can bring forth, right? See him for what he is, the provider, the healer, the sanctifier, right? The one who brings victory into our lives, the one who is a banner over our lives, the one who is our righteousness. Nothing is impossible. Can you see that? Yeah? And so in Matthew chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ takes that reality of have the faith of God, and he describes it in a different way, right? Matthew chapter 17. Verse 20. And he says, and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So that seed faith that God is talking about here, or the Lord Jesus is talking about here, is the seed of the faith of God that will move mountains. And he says, if you have just a mustard seed of that faith, you can move mountains. Are you listening? Because if you go back to Mark, you will find that that's what he's talking about. Have the faith of God, because, and you can speak to this mountain and ask it to move, and it will move. Are you with me? Now, the power to move that mountain comes from God. So what is this faith that can move the hands of God? It is obviously the faith of God. It cannot be a carnal faith. It has to be a faith that is of the righteousness of God. Can you see that? It must be a faith that moves God in his righteousness. Because God will not do something that is unrighteous. God cannot do something that is dishonest. God cannot do something that is merely hateful, right? Or he's manipulative. God is not like that. That is not his nature. That is not his character. Can you see that? So when we have true faith, that faith lines up with the character and nature of the Lord your God. It lines up with his nature. God is love. God is light. Right? And so you must understand that this faith of God, God introduced into your life when you were born again, this seed faith. So you were born again by the seed of the word, right? By the seed of Christ. Are you with me? Now the seed of Christ is the seed of the Father's faith that he has planted in you by the Holy Spirit that made you born again. Right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Are you listening? And that seed is the seed of God's faith. So the seed of God's faith has already been planted inside of us. Right? And so that seed is going to grow. So Jesus describes himself in Revelation 22 verse 16 as the root of David and the offspring of David. What is he describing? He's describing a tree of life. What is the tree of life? An expression of love. And how is that love going to manifest in us? It is going to be the product of God's righteousness. How does it grow out of? It grows out of a seed faith that God planted in us when we were born again. Right? So how does that seed faith grow? In the love of God that we have realized through his righteousness. So the root of David. So can you see the tree growing? The root of David, right, is the root of the tree of life. Right? The offspring of David is what the tree grows out and manifests. And we are each the product of God's love. Can you see that? Yeah? And Revelation 22 says that the nations will take of the leaves of this tree and they will live. Are you listening? Now all this is the product of God's righteousness. So that seed faith, that faith that will move mountains. Now when we become sons of God, you know how many mountains would have moved? Hello, brethren. When we actually stand as kings, you know how many mountains would have moved? How many mountains of sin and darkness and deception and falsehood would have been thrown into the sea? Would have been uprooted like that and thrown? Mountains that would have crushed entire nations, millions, billions of people would have died in that unrighteousness and darkness, and it would have been removed from our lives because of that seed faith of God that was manifested in us in the merits of the Lamb. Can you see that? Hello. When you were born again, mountains were moved, brother, because all the religions in the world can never make anyone born again. That effect of that seed faith that was planted inside of you in the name of Jesus Christ moved mountains, made you see things that you would never have seen. Right? When you try and talk to somebody, you know, so often you feel like as if you're talking to a wall. Right? You listening? Yeah. So God's done an amazing work inside of our lives. He has already demonstrated the power of his righteousness. And this is what we must understand and move towards, right? Not looking at our weaknesses, not looking at what happened to my life in the last 20 years, not looking at our records of failures, not looking at the times we have done wrong things, but to look at what God can transform our lives into. God can transfigure us in the light of his life. God can make us morning stars. That's what it's all about. I am watching over my word to perform it. So this is my good word that I'm going to perform, the Lord is saying, right? How did he start the book of Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah sees a vision. And what does God tell him? What do you see, Jeremiah? And he says, I see the rod of an almond tree. And God turns around to him and says, you have seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. And that's what the whole book of Jeremiah is about. As he brings judgment on Israel, as he brings judgment on Judah rather, right? Judah and Benjamin, as he brings judgment on them, God opens a new door and he says, I'm opening something in my righteousness because your righteousness is doomed to failure. Praise the Lord. Isn't it awesome? So there's a whole universe waiting for us to discover. It's time for us to learn how to function by our God. Even if you learn how to do a small thing by God, it is the beginning of an amazing thing. Right? Because the seed of being able to actually know how to do something by God is something that can grow and touch everything else in your life. It can make you rise up and shine as a morning star. And that's what God is talking about. That's why when the woman gave two mites, he had such high regard for her. Right? Because she had a reality of God that will keep on growing. All it would take is for her to understand and know the word of God. And the fact of the God whom she could see would just transform her. And she was a simple woman. She was not a scholar in the scriptures. She knew right? She was a simple woman. But what was her great treasure? She could see God. She could see God enough to live by Him in everything that she did every day. And so the Lord Jesus Christ looked at her and he had such high thoughts about her. Are you with me? And so you see, that's what God is trying to do in our lives. But so often, we try and bring our righteousnesses before God and we try to say, oh Lord, see, I'm doing so many things for you. Oh, can't you justify me with my own faith and my righteousness? It's very important for us to understand the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to the Old King James Bible. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Because all of the other translations talk about being justified by our own faith. But the King James goes back to the root of that faith. The root of that faith. The faith that Jesus Christ must author and finish, right? And so it goes back to the root and it talks about that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. I'm reading from the Old King James Bible. You won't find this in the New King James. But this is what the Old King James reads. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. If you look at your Bibles, you will find that it is always written as the faith in Christ, or faith in Jesus Christ. But the old King James translators had this amazing insight to translate that as the faith of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so the faith of God is communicated to us as the faith of Jesus Christ. And Jesus becomes the author and the finisher of that faith, that seed faith in you, so that you can rise up and have perfect faith in God. So that you will have true and honest faith. So that you will have faith that will unfold God's purposes in your life rather than go out and do what you want in your carnal nature. Can you see the need for that? So that's why Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. Now Jesus being the author and the finisher of your faith is a manifestation of the righteousness of God. Right? So God manifests His righteousness into us by bringing forth His faith through Jesus Christ into us. And He explains Jesus Christ works that faith into us. He authors it and He finishes it, or He perfects it, so that we will have the faith of Jesus Christ in God. And when we have the faith of Jesus Christ in God, we can be like Jesus. We can ask anything in the name of Jesus. It will be done for us. It will be given to us. The mountains will be removed. So what is the hallmark of this seed faith that is of the faith of God? It will have no doubt. It will have absolutely no doubt. It will know it's there. Listening? Yeah? Praise the Lord. Okay? Let's go back to that Greek word, hypostasis. Remember that Greek word, hypostasis? Faith is the substance of hope. The question is, whose substance is it going to be? If you set your hope on Jesus Christ, the substance will be of Jesus Christ. If you set your hope on something else, the substance will be of something else. Very simple. But what is the intent of that substance? Right? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, King James Bible, or New King James Bible. Faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. Amen? If you know that it's going to rise up, the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning at 6:30. That is what you call an evidence, right? Right? It's a total confidence, no doubt. You wouldn't be sitting there, oh my goodness, will the sun rise up tomorrow morning? I have to go on a 40-day fast to make sure that the sun keeps rising every day. Oh my goodness, will I be breathing in another 5 minutes' time? Oh my goodness, my mind is weak. What if I die in 5 minutes' time? Goodness gracious me, I am going to have sleepless nights because I may not be breathing in 5 minutes' time. Who is going to guarantee that I'm going to be breathing in 5 minutes' time? Yeah? So let's go back to this Greek word, hypostasis, right? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, right? Hebrews chapter 3. Let me take that from the New King James. Let's look at this sentence. It's a verse, it's a powerful verse. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now the Greek word for confidence there is hypostasis. What is confidence? Confidence is the absence of doubt, right? Now, how does the absence of doubt come? If you become a partaker of Christ. Can you see that? How do you become a partaker of Christ? Through this word substance. The substance is of his faith. Because faith is substance, isn't it? The substance of hope. So the substance of hope that Jesus Christ expressed in dying for you and rising from the dead for you and for me. That substance is what we need. That substance makes us a new creation. So the Bible says we are created in Christ Jesus. How are we created in Christ Jesus? Through substance. So that we can manifest the good works that God has ordained for our lives. Amen? Can you understand that? So, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Am I right? Hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you understand how important it is to hear by the word of God and not by people's opinions? You must be able to explain the word. The word must explain the word continually. Everything in the word of God must tie up. For everything in the word to tie up, Jesus must stand at the center of the word of God. He must fill it all. For the word of God to manifest in that confidence that will have absolutely no doubt, that word has to be communicated to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. It has to be established inside of you in the faith of Jesus for you. You think he simply went to the cross now? When he died for you, he expressed a faith. It was such a powerful faith that God ordained it in his righteousness. And because that faith was unshakable faith, right? God honored that with resurrection power. Praise the Lord. Because that love was able to heal, that love was able to build, that love was able to forgive, that love was able to bring forth a new beginning. So God honored that love. He calls Jesus Christ David, prophetically. How is Jesus manifested to us as David? He's the root of David. Tap root system. Right? And he's built in his love. And the offspring is a manifestation of his love. And all that is the righteousness of God. God is doing it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we will be sons of God. Amen? Amen. So as we look at ourselves today, we have got many weaknesses, right? Recognize those weaknesses, take them to God and work. And allow God to work the solutions to those weaknesses through Jesus Christ into you. It will take time, but it will surely come forth. It doesn't matter that you have weak faith or you have doddering faith. In the end, God will get it right. Can you see that? You know, some people just have a doubting mind. So what happened to doubting Thomas? Did he become an apostle? Hello. I mean, doubting Thomas didn't become an apostle. Good grief. He took the gospel to India.
Unless I see and put my finger in his wounds, I won't believe. Yeah, that guy. Apostle of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay? So when we look at things from our perspectives, we sometimes feel that, oh my goodness, there are no solutions to my problem. Because I don't seem to be able to do things the right way. Yeah. But the solution is always there in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why Jesus said, with God nothing is impossible. Amen? It is harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Enter into the eye of a needle, right? For a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, right? For a camel to enter into the eye of a needle. Oh boy, I'm getting this all upside down, right? Okay. It is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to enter the eye of a needle. Yeah? And yet God says, I can do it. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Amen. So as we look to the Lord, we have to look to him and understand his righteousness. He is by name righteous. Amen. I am who I am. I am that I am. If you look to God, he will always manifest his righteousness. No matter what kind of a mess you are. The trouble is we stop looking at God and we look at other things. And that's when the righteousness of God comes to a stop. Right? We listen to somebody else's words and we are stumbled by somebody else's words. And we go into a depression, right? And we start feeling, oh my goodness, the whole world is against me. And you've lost sight with what the word of God is saying are God's promises for your life. You will be the head and not the tail. It was not you may be the head and you may not be the tail. I mean, you will be the head and not the tail. You alone will be above and not beneath. Is God going to fulfill that? Yes. Will the righteousness of man attain that? No. But will the righteousness of God attain that? Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Amen. And in Jesus Christ, all things are open to us. Yes, we can stumble and fall and we will make all kinds of silly mistakes. But if you keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, the changes will come, the strength will come, the enabling will come. The love will change the stone of heart into a heart of flesh. And that heart of flesh is of his substance, and that substance of his will give you absolute confidence in God, and you can see mountains move. It's only a question of time. That's why the Bible says as a declaration, you have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible calls you a saint. You mean when Paul was speaking to the saints, they were all saints? No, they were not. But he called them saints. Why? Based on the righteousness of God. Because God called them to be saints. Right? Do we all look like a priesthood? No, we don't. But are we a priesthood? Absolutely. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Do we look like kings and do we behave like kings or do we sometimes behave like beggars? But no matter how we behave, the Bible and the Word of God says you are kings. Based on the righteousness of God. But if you don't want to listen to the righteousness of God and you want to keep on writing your litany of all of your woes and all of your weaknesses and you keep meditating on how weak you are and how you cannot do this and you cannot, then darkness is going to engulf your life and destroy you. But if you fix your eyes on the Lord, he will bring the change. How he will do it, we don't know, because he is the God of the impossible. You and I are not. For us, impossible means impossible, cannot be done. To God, there's nothing that is impossible. So that's a different reality. Praise the Lord. So hook into the righteousness of God. Listen to the word of God and understand the righteousness of God, and the faith of God will manifest in you. But it will manifest only in the name of Jesus, and it will manifest only by the Holy Spirit. It cannot manifest in your own desires and your own attitudes and in your own strengths. Cannot come like that. It has to be of Jesus Christ because it carries the name of God. You understand that? Yahweh Sidkenu means, Yahweh means I am who I am that I am. There are no substitutes for God. So the word Sidkenu has got no meaning except in who God is and all that God is. And only Jesus can manifest that. And Jesus is manifested by the Holy Spirit. You must understand this, because we keep going over this over and over again in almost every teaching in this place. See, once you learn how to think by the name of God, you will realize automatically, instinctively, that everything comes from God, everything is sustained by God, right? Everything is manifested by God, and therefore I can live forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you for your righteousness. We bless you that you are able to do things that we cannot even imagine, Lord. And that's what your word is saying to us. That you are able to do things far beyond anything that we can comprehend in and of ourselves. And what an awesome reality that is, Lord. That we are open to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We are being trained and we are being molded and shaped so that we will be the head and not the tail. That we will be above and not beneath. That we will truly have a heart that will love you, a heart that will truly belong to you. That we will be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. That we will do what is right and true before you at all times, in all situations. And all that is going to be the product of your righteousness. We are blessed. And we pray, Father, that you will enable us always to bless you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for your faith. We thank you that your word says that we can have the faith of God. And having the faith of God is in a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh that is of the substance of the Master's fullness. And what a blessing it is, O Lord, to be able to see something and not doubt, Lord. Certain. Doubt is the atmosphere of this earth, because nothing is certain in this world. To have no doubt is to be absolutely certain about something. And that is what the kingdom of God is built on. The kingdom of God is built on things that are absolute certainties, Father. On immutable realities, O God, that flow out of your heart, that flow out of your nature and your character, that flow out of your thought processes, that flow out of the kind intentions of your will. And Father, we are partakers of that faith, because Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our Messiah, our High Priest, He is truly the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this immensity, the immensity of your love for us. And David is just a response to that love, Lord. And we pray that we will all be fulfilled expressions, O God, of David's. Men and women who have a heart for you, Lord. Whose heart panteth after you. Men and women who will do all your will because they have become partakers of your righteousness. We want to bless you and thank you for the word you have released into us today. And we pray that you will use this word to enable us to rise to become kings who will stand in authority in heavenly places. In Jesus' name, amen.